The physician's influence.
I have been shown that the physicians should come into a closer connection with God and stand and work earnestly in His strength. They have a responsible part to act. Not only the lives of the patients, but their souls also are at stake. Many who are benefited physically may at the same time be greatly helped spiritually. Both the health of the body and the salvation of the soul are in a great degree dependent upon the course of the physicians. It is of the utmost consequence that they are right, that they have not only scientific knowledge, but the knowledge of God's will and ways. Great responsibilities rest upon them. My brethren, you should see and feel your responsibility, and in view of it, humble your souls before God and plead with Him for wisdom. You have not realized how much the salvation of the souls of those whose bodies you are seeking to relieve from suffering depends upon your words, your actions and deportment. You are doing work which must bear the test of judgment. You must guard your own souls from the sins of selfishness, self-sufficiency, and self-confidence. Draw water from the hidden spring. You should preserve a true Christian dignity, but avoid all affectation. Be strictly honest in heart and life. Let faith, like the palm tree, strike its penetrating roots beneath the things which do appear, and obtain spiritual refreshment from the living springs of God's grace and mercy. There is a well of water which springeth up into everlasting life. You must draw your life from this hidden spring. If you divest yourselves of selfishness and strengthen your souls by constant communion with God, you may promote the happiness of all with whom you come in contact. You will notice the neglected, inform the ignorant, encourage the oppressed and desponding, and as far as possible, relieve the suffering. And you will not only point the way to heaven, but will walk in that way yourselves. Be not satisfied with superficial knowledge. Be not elated by flattery, nor depressed by fault-finding. Satan will tempt you to pursue such a course that you may be admired and flattered. But you should turn away from his devices. You are servants of the living God. Your intercourse with the sick is an exhausting process, and would gradually dry up the very springs of life if there were no change, no opportunity for recreation, and if angels of God did not guard and protect you. If you could see the many perils through which you are conducted safely every day by these messengers of heaven, gratitude would spring up in your hearts and find expression from your lips. If you make God your strength, you may, under the most discouraging circumstances, attain a height and breadth of Christian perfection which you hardly think it possible to reach. Your thoughts may be elevated. You may have noble aspirations, clear perceptions of truth, and purposes of action which shall raise you above all sordid motives. Both thought and action will be necessary if you would attain to perfection of character. While brought in contact with the world, you should be on your guard that you do not seek too ardently for the applause of men and live for their opinion. Walk carefully, if you would walk safely. Cultivate the grace of humility and hang your helpless souls upon Christ. You may be, in every sense, men of God. In the midst of confusion and temptation in the worldly crowd, you may say with perfect sweetness, keep the independence of the soul. If you are in daily communion with God, you will learn to place His estimate upon men, and the obligations resting upon you to bless suffering humanity will meet with a willing response. You are not your own. Your Lord has sacred claims upon your supreme affections and the very highest services of your life. He has a right to use you in your body and in your spirit to the fullest extent of your capabilities for His own honor and glory. Whatever crosses you may be required to bear, whatever labors or sufferings are imposed upon you by His hand, you are to accept without a murmur. Those for whom you labor are your brethren in distress, suffering from physical disorders and the spiritual leprosy of sin. If you are any better than they, it is to be credited to the cross of Christ. Many are without God and without hope in the world. They are guilty, corrupt, and degraded, enslaved by Satan's devices. Yet these are the ones whom Christ came from heaven to redeem. They are subjects for tenderest pity, sympathy, and tireless effort, for they are on the verge of ruin. They suffer from ungratified desires, disordered passions, and the condemnation of their own consciences. They are miserable in every sense of the word, for they are losing their hold on this life and have no prospect for the life to come. Be active and vigilant. You have an important field of labor, and you should be active and vigilant, rendering cheerful and unqualified obedience to the Master's calls. Ever bear in mind that your efforts to reform others should be made in the spirit of unwavering kindness. Nothing is ever gained by holding yourselves aloof from those whom you would help. You should keep before the minds of patients the fact that in suggesting reforms of their habits and customs, you are presenting before them that which is not to ruin but to save them. That while yielding up what they have hitherto esteemed and loved, they are to build on a more secure foundation. While reform must be advocated with firmness and resolution, all appearance of bigotry or an overbearing spirit should be carefully shunned. Christ has given us precious lessons of patience, forbearing, and love. Rudeness is not energy, nor is domineering heroism. The Son of God was persuasive. He was manifested to draw all men unto him. His followers must study his life more closely and walk in the light of his example at whatever sacrifice to self. Reform, continual reform, must be kept before the people, and your example should enforce your teachings.